Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Hi, and welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. I am here today with Nancy Pullen, and we are going to be talking about caregiving for aging parents and some support for you. Nancy has written a book. Actually, she's got another one coming out here too, but the first book is about her journey with her dad, who went through, help me out, Nancy.
Lewy body dementia was the ultimate.
Lewy body dementia, yeah. Right. And of course, my mom, in fact, today is my mom's birthday. Aww. She passed away a couple years ago of side effects of dementia. And, we've been through this journey caring for our parents, and we get it, you guys. It's a tough row to hoe. Happy to have you here with us. Nancy, during this time, we're going to talk about three surprising insights that you learned while caring for your father, as well as the role of faith and a favorite God sighting, plus why you wrote the book Dancing with Lewy and the story of, this was the story of your father's life. Nancy is a humorous, practical, and wistful author, speaker, and advocate. Caregivers past, present, and future discover the value of resilience and faith as she shares her insights and resources. You can learn more about her over at nancyrpullen.com and request her newsletter, Caring for the Caregiver, which is released monthly. Thanks for being here, Nancy.
Thank you, Marty, for having me. I much appreciate it.
Well, it's so fun because you and I have been pseudo sisters for decades, ever since
years.
We were little.
Yep.
And I know Mom would have called you one of her daughters too. You were at our house and a lot, and we just shared many things together. So it's kind of fun now to be at this stage. Our parents, both your parents and both of my parents, have passed on to heaven, and now we get to look forward to seeing them in their full youthful wonder when we get there. So
that's
definitely. Great. That's great. You wanted to share with us today some insights that you learned while going through the caregiving of both of your parents. Your mom died of cancer. Your dad died of
Lewy body dementia.
That body one, it just always gets me.
It's a strange one for sure.
So why don't you just launch us off with the first insight that you have?
Okay. Well, I think the first insight in looking back was just the sheer volume of time and energy and effort it took to care for my aging parents. And, you know, I have, like you, Marnie, I have three sisters, wonderful sisters. I have a husband, and it was kind of like a whole family thing to take care of my parents as they age. You know, we all had our role to play. I was probably, because a lot of the work I've done in my life, I was kind of the administrative person. I've done government contracting, so I was okay filling out the government paperwork and coordinating that kind of thing. And some of my other sisters are so sweet, wonderful caregivers, you know, bringing meals over, taking care of some of their physical needs. And still at that, caregiving is so, so overwhelming. You know, it's just things from doctor appointments to, like when my mom had cancer surgery, we arranged food to be brought to him, house cleaners, you know, all the medical things. And, you know, I guess what I really found was you can't be a solo caregiver. And I was blessed with siblings. Not everybody has siblings or siblings available. But, you know, you can, you know, if a neighbor says, hey, what can I do to help? You know, to say, oh, I don't know. I'll let you know. Say, hey, could you bring a casserole over Friday night to my parents? Because, you know, they don't get meals that day. Or, you know, could you be a backup driver for doctor appointments if one of us can't take them? You know, just, you know, specifically ask people for help. And, you know, it makes people feel really good to help. You know, you're blessing them as well as, you know, relieving some of your caregiving strain.
Yeah, I think right there, let me just put in here too, that sometimes I think like when you're praying, like, God, I need help. Get really specific and say, God, we need help with meals, or we need help with transportation.
Yep.
Because as you lift those specific prayer requests to God, then you're also clarifying in your mind when someone says, what can I do to help? You've got it right there. You've thought it through, what you actually need. And it's really beautiful how we get to go to God first, and then he provides,
he provides people
coming in.
Yeah.
And it is overwhelming. It is like, wow.
And like God provided, like a house cleaner was an old neighbor of mine who my mom knew. She'd had coffee with, and you know, she was just a friend for her in addition to, you know, a house cleaner. So it's like God always provided what they needed when they needed it. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later.
Yeah.
So it was, but yeah, it's just, man, people need help and help others. You know, we need to be able to reach out and help others.
So what was the second insight?
The second was how difficult it was to obtain information. Now, this started about 15 years ago when all the privacy regulations came on board. And, you know, just to get medical records and, you know, fortunately, you know, we knew enough to go to an attorney and get, you know, power of attorney and wills and healthcare directives done. But, you know, even at that, things did not always go right. And I'll tell a little humorous story about my dad. It was what I call the dad with dementia who was starting to not be able to process information. I came to the house and dad's like, I can't get the cable TV channels I want. I said, okay, well, I'll call him and we'll ask about the channels. And so I get on the phone and he goes, is this Lee? No, this is his daughter. Well, I can't talk to you. I have to talk to Lee.
Right.
Okay, I'll put Lee on the phone and he'll say it's okay. So I put dad on the phone. Dad, can you tell him to talk to me? He picks up the phone. He says, no, do not talk to my daughter. Do not do anything she says.
Oh, no.
Like, where did that come from? What was that about? And, you know, obviously, retrospect, it was some of his dementia and the paranoia and Mr. Independence there. But so, you know, I learned, okay, now we're going to practice ahead of time. Okay, Dan, now if we're going to call, you tell him it's okay to talk to me, and then I'll get it taken care of. Okay, he says, and, you know, so, you know.
Yeah,
so just those kind of surprises, you know, just the whole medical thing. You know, and record keeping and all that. So
So is that now, I know that when I read the first book that you wrote, that was a story and that had a lot of good tips kind of scattered throughout some of your dad's poetry and stuff like that. The one that you're writing now is more like what you found was missing.
Well, what I'm actually writing now, it's called Remarkable Caregivers. I know we just changed the name of the publisher. Remarkable Caregivers. And this is actually the story of six other caregivers.
Okay.
Some adults, some with handicapped children that shared their stories and all freely gave advice. I mean, it's just remarkable. Let's just say it's remarkable what these people have gone through. So, and it's more tips, you know, more kind of practicality and stories.
So maybe... and maybe, are you going to share this later? Because I don't want to jump ahead on you. But maybe a starting point for someone who's just in that point where you realized it's really difficult to get information.
Again, get the legal paperwork. You got to. You have to have a power of attorney to go to the bank to transfer money. You have to have a healthcare directive saying you can get medical information. But, you know, you have to approach this with your parents or loved ones with love. I mean, if you come in like a bully and say, I'm going to go get power of attorney for you, you know, that's never going to go over well. And there are scammers out there. You know, so you have to approach it with love and say, you know, I'm going to walk this journey with you, mom or dad or Uncle Joe or whoever, and we're going to do everything we can to take care of you. You know, so just lay the groundwork. If you lay the groundwork, life will be easier later. But I would just say approach it with love.
Yeah, and one of the things we found too, because as someone goes into this dementia phase of their life, they get very paranoid that people are, like he said, don't tell her anything, don't do anything. They get really scared, even of people who are just trying to help them in the moment, even right then. But so what we would do is we would have like a good guy and a bad guy. Like the one who has to come in and ask for the power of attorney. And the other one who comes along behind that and says, oh, you know, you are doing so great. And, you know, you're just doing awesome. And did you know that they have this thing now that can really help? And, you know, you kind of have to, because And my aunt is a legal advisor for aging people.
Yeah.
And she says that where the scammers actually get in is they come in and they just be the friend.
Okay.
They aren't asking for anything. They don't want to get anything. They're just going to be your friend. Yep. Unlike the children who are actually trying to take care of them, this person just comes in and gives them everything they want.
Yep, exactly.
And so then they sign everything over to this stranger.
Yeah.
And so you have to really guard them against these scammers who come in and take advantage. Okay, so what was your third surprising insight?
So the third one was the emotional toll, the spiritual toll. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. I was been a Christian since a very young age. But, you know, things got kind of crazy with my dad. And as he got in his 50s and 60s, he just started some behaviors that I did not think were right. And, you know, one day it just hit me between the eyes. Judge not means your parents, too. Now, it doesn't mean, you know, you don't try to help them, and it doesn't mean you have some realistic expectations. But, you know, I've come to realize probably a lot of that was brain changes. Even, you know, the more I learn about this Lewy body dementia is it starts happening early in life. You know, and so I just had to really learn just the love through that. And, you know, I'm kind of an even keel person. You know, we say us Scandinavians up here in Minnesota, you know, if it rains, it's okay. If it snows, it's okay. But I just started getting very, very emotional. I would cry at the drop of a hat. And I realized I was probably becoming clinically depressed. So this was after my mom died. And, you know, grief can just do you in. And, you know, so I really learned you know, I went on antidepressants, and I just had to learn to let go and let God. I mean, and, you know, it's such an emotional, physical, spiritual balance.
Yeah.
You know, you just have to say, I can't control my mom's cancer. I can't control his dementia. God, you got to help me. So.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think that in the end, when we get to heaven and we look back on all of this, in the end, we'll see that the whole goal of God the entire time, no matter what was happening to us, was to increase our dependence and our trust in him.
Yep, definitely.
And boy, you go through stuff like what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when my mom was losing her mind, and she hers went so fast, Nancy. You talk about, you know, the Lewy going slow, but mom's went really fast. It was just like, what, 2 or 3 years total.
Yeah.
And at points, I mean, as she's losing her mind, she'd be like bashing her head against a wall.
Oh, I know.
It was so horrible to watch. And
it is.
Just, you know, to try to help and to try to comfort. And so you do just need Jesus all the time.
You do. You just have to trust God. And like with their finances, you know, my dad never saved 1 cent for retirement because he's going to work till the day he died.
Right.
And when I took him over, it was like a disaster.
Right.
And I heard the voice of God. You know, how do we hear God speak? I just heard his voice saying, it's going to be okay. I'm going to take care of your parents.
Yeah.
And not that we didn't try hard and not that we didn't seek out benefits,
right.
But like we sold our house in 2006, like the year before the collapse.
Yeah.
And we got money out of the house. You know, we were able to find some veterans benefits. And, you know, they did not run on money. They had good places to live till 4 months before my dad died. And by then he was so far gone in a nursing home, he was able to go on medical assistance.
Okay.
But it's just such a lesson that I will provide. And like, okay, God, I'm counting on that. So,
you know, and what's really fascinating, because your family and our family, we were behind you guys on this journey.
Right.
Your parents are a little older than ours. And about what was amazing is I remember my older sister, Marla, who had the power of attorney. She said, I just talked to Nancy and I am so comforted because Nancy's family took a completely different track than what the lawyer is telling us to take.
Yeah.
And both of them are going to work. God's going to work it out.
Yep. And your sister did marvelous. And so can I tell you a story about your mom up here in front of all these people?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Her mom is like a second mom to me. And we used to go out to lunch, and it was probably one of the last times we were able to do that. And I knew something was going on. I didn't know what, but so I'm like, Evie, have you gotten like your legal paperwork in place, your power of attorney in that? Oh no, she says. My son-in-laws want me to do that, but I know they just want my money. I'm like, okay, I know your 3 son-in-laws. Pretty good. Some of them I know better than others, but I know they're all Christians. I know they're ethical, moral people. I'm not going to steal your money. But, you know, it's like, that was at Paranoia. Right. And bless, right. You know, you and Marla and your family, you know, I was so happy to hear when that got all worked out.
I know. Oh. And it was really a miracle, right?
I mean,
was a miracle. And the whole journey, honestly, we just saw God over and over and over and over.
Oh, yes, you do.
And did that, you know, what I always say is, in order for it to be a miracle, it has to be pretty tough before the miracle happens,
oh,
or it wouldn't
sure.
be a miracle.
Yep,
so
sure.
none of us want that part before the miracle.
No, we don't.
Absolutely not. But yet, God has these amazing surprises for us.
Yep, definitely.
What is one of your favorite God sightings from
the I'll read you a verse. This is Psalms 42:5. Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God.
Yeah.
So I talk about, and I tell the story in my book, the night found out my mom probably had cancer. My mom had a very bad back, and I'd just taken her in for an MRI, and we had just gotten home, and the phone rang. And it was her doctor who said, you know, we weren't expecting this, but we found a tumor in your kidney.
Oh, wow.
And that, like, hit me between the eyes, like, okay, wow. We already knew my dad had dementia. We already knew they didn't have any money. We already knew the house was falling apart. I still had a teenager at home. I was working full-time and traveling, and, like, No, God. And I remember I stayed for a while till my dad got home and I left, and it was like an April-ish time frame, and it was pouring rain outside. And I drove home in my car the long way, and I just started to cry. I'm just crying, and it's raining, and then the song comes on the radio. And if you've ever heard the song, Praise Him in the Storm by Casting Crowns. And it says, you know, I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, it's still raining.
Yeah.
And as it rains, I'll cut a little out here, your mercy falls. And then later on it says, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. Mm-hmm. And I'm like bawling and I'm hearing this song about praising you in the storm. And, you know, you hear these things, you're kind of like, no, God, I can't praise you. I can't thank you for any of this. I am crushed. My spirit was crushed that night. But, you know, I heard. Miraculously, that song came on several other times when things were really going bad. I mean, once when my mom was in the hospital, I heard that. And it's like, I mean, I really had to learn that lesson. And, you know, God just kind of hits you between the eyes. And you notice he never says, oh, I feel sorry for you, Nancy. Go wallow in your misery.
Right.
No, that never. I am God. God is God. God is faithful no matter what happens. People will fail you, health will fail you, finances will fail you, but God is there. And that's, I mean, that's maybe between that and his faithfulness of monetarily and physically caring for my parents that I learned. So I just say to people out there, you know, if you have a relationship with God, just pour your heart out to him and just...
Mm-hmm.
Remember that. So
right. I love the phrase but God, because you have all this tragedy, all this pain, this disappointment, all this grief, and then it's but God is still here.
He's still
God
there.
Is goddess. God is working. Yeah, and I love that we can run to him and be really honest with him, like David.
Yeah.
Just like, God, I just want to kill him, you know, whatever.
Yes. Oh, I love the story, David. I love David's Psalms. And when I was in Israel, ironically, I was just saying to Martin before this, I mean, I have known, you know, your family since I was teenagers.
Yeah.
And when her mom died, I was in Israel. And I hated to miss her funeral, but there was some kind of, you know, that she had put so much vision of Christianity into my heart that there I was. So, but yeah, it's, God was there. So.
Right. Right. And God has all the details, all the timing, all the details.
Yep.
So why did you actually write a book about it?
So I'm showing you my book here, Damsel Louie, because it's so pretty. My publisher made it.
Yeah.
You know, when my dad was in his later stages of dementia, and Louie body is just, it's this horrible dementia where he was just like, they called him a functional quadriplegic by the time he died, because he could not, his brain could not tell his muscles to move. Couldn't eat, couldn't move, couldn't feed himself, nothing. And I just felt this on my heart, like, you know, caregivers, you're not alone. You know, these things happen, but caregiving is hard. It takes a huge toll on families. Women especially, and there's a lot of great men caregivers, but a lot of women end up with, you know, the house and the kids and the job and the parents and the in-laws mm-hmm. and all that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted a story to know that. I wasn't perfect. There were times I resented my dad. And he was like the most stubborn Norwegian.
He was? I worked for him when I was a teenager. I know.
He didn't want help with anything, especially from a daughter. And
so he
and I butted heads enough times, but I just wanted to share the story of grace that,
mm-hmm.
you know, when all is said and done, my parents aren't perfect. And I write in the beginning of the book, my imperfect parents showed me the way to a perfect God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they did. They made sure we went to church. They made sure we knew the Bible, all those things. And so I guess it's a story of grace and a story of forgiveness and a story of hope for caregivers that, you know, you're not alone. You can seek help. You can pour your heart out to God. There's a lot of other people who've gone before you with some great advice and great ideas. So, I mean, I felt like I just had to write the book, and I did.
Yeah, and now you got a second one coming.
I know,
I'm just so proud of you.
Now I got the bug. So.
But, you know, I always, when I read somebody's book like yours or so many books I've read, thousands of books.
Yeah.
And when I read a book, I am so grateful to that author for taking all that time and effort to write all that down for me.
Oh, yeah.
It's like getting to sit with you for 2 straight hours and have you in a methodical way share all of that stuff with me. It would never happen.
No, you
it could never happen.
All that. No.
And so books are just this amazing way to actually capture like the cream of a person's experience lessons and everything. So thank you for writing it.
Thank you for writing. Thank you for reading it.
Yes, right. Go read the book. Dancing with Louie. And you can learn more about Nancy and get her newsletter over at nancyrpoland.com. R for Ruth, her mom's name. nancyrpoland.com. And if you need a speaker coming up, she would love to come and share with you. You can learn more about her speaking availability over at womenspeakers.com.
Yep.
Nancy, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Oh, thank you, Marty, and bless your ministry. I pray for you all the time. So
thank you. Thank you, and we say happy birthday to my mama.
Oh, Mama Evie.
And thanks, you guys, for joining us. So fun to have you along. I hope you have a wonderful day, and see you next time. Bye-bye.